It's a pleasure to have a couple of musicians with us who I think you're really going to enjoy. Christian Christensen is the grandfather of Christian Wig, for whom he's named. And in addition to being a great musician, he spent a lot of time learning about the history of the music he plays and sharing it with an audience in a very engaging way. He is here today playing banjo and fiddle, along with Mark Ward, who also will be playing banjo. They've had some CDs together that I'll tell you about in a little bit. They're here for a sold-out house concert. So I'm pleased that the concert is sold out. I'm even more pleased that we're able to have them here with us today. So let's welcome Christian Wig and Mark Ward. Mark Ward playing fiddle on that one, and both of these gentlemen are multi-instrumentalists, and Christian Wig playing what Annie Trimble whispered in my ear is a gourd banjo, and I'm really eager to learn a little bit about that instrument. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Christian?
The gourd banjo is... The first banjos that were made in this country, they were made by slaves back as early as the middle 1600s, at least. There are a couple or three surviving from that time period in museums throughout the world.
This is not that old a work.
No, this is not that. This is a reproduction made by Jeff Menzies, who is a Toronto, Canada banjo maker. And it's made out of a gourd with a skin head, and it's got gut strings.
Wow. And it's got a closed back, might surprise you. I was visualizing it with an open back, but that explains that rich tone that's coming out of it. It's very pure. You don't hear a whole lot of overtone or anything. It's,
right.
What a neat...
It's very organic sound.
Yeah. What kind of strings are those
gut strings.
Yeah, it's...
I had them, they're specially made just for this pitch and and the length of the neck.
So tell me a little bit how I imagine you grew up with old time music, or
we were just talking about that. I didn't get into old time music until after I got out of the service. I bought a banjo and bought the Pete Seeger banjo book, How to Play the Five String Banjo. And I hear that, you know, many, many people my age who play old time music started out the same way, got a banjo and got that Pete Seeger banjo book and started learning how to play a whole bunch of different styles on the banjo.
Yeah, that book has taught so many people.
Yeah.
But clearly you've got your own style that evolved from that, which has got did that happen pretty naturally for you? Or?
You know, I think like everybody who plays, they've gone through lots of different, influences but mine's been as circuitous as anybody else's, you know, starting out in folk music and finally going through country and western and cowboy songs and eventually settling on, I even went through a blues and a jazz period and playing these in different bands I was in and trying to play that sort of stuff. And it just finally, I went to take a course from Melvin Wine down at Augusta one year back in 1994. And after that happened, I just found my home. I found my place. I found the place I was most comfortable.
That's a great, that's had to be the greatest feeling in the world.
Oh, it was. It was because I was trying to do all these other things with some degree of success, but I wasn't totally happy until I met Melvin.
Christian Wigg is the man's voice who you were just hearing. Let's listen to another song. What was that first one called that you opened up with?
That was Durang's Hornpipe. It's a very, very old song. It was actually a written tune in 1785, I believe it was.
Wow, I had no idea that was that old. I've heard that done, I think, on guitar. I can't remember by who. But I had no idea that song went back that far.
Well, it was written, but John Durang was an acrobatic dancer back in the that time period in New York City. And this person wrote this song for him, celebrating his dancing. He was quite a celebrity in his day, John Durang. And one of the things that he did, he invented the sailor's hornpipe. And the sailor's hornpipe dance that Popeye used to do.
I was going to say, we wouldn't have Popeye without that.
You know, where you put your hand behind your back and you do this kind of thing and then you do the other thing.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So he invented that dance. But this particular version is from Jake Phelps, right, Mark? And it's got a modal sounding B part that's definitely got a black influence. So there were lots of African American players around Western Kentucky where he learned that song.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things about the banjo is its roots dating back to Africa. And I've never seen a gourd banjo reproduction like that. That is a really neat instrument. What would you like to play next?
Peter Francisco.
Yeah, let's do a Peter Francisco. No.
Christian Wigg and Mark Ward here with us at the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you. that time they essentially switched instruments, Mark Ward playing banjo, and you heard Christian playing fiddle that time around. And what a good combination. It's amazing. You really, it's just about all you need, you know, two people, two instruments, and you get almost an orchestra of sound hearing the two of you guys play together. And it's like having you sitting here on a porch playing, which is probably exactly the sound you like the best, I would think. It's 27 minutes now at the Saturday Light Brigade. At 27 minutes before 12 noon. I mentioned before the house concert tonight is full, and it's nice that so many people are visiting and are going to be listening to you play, which is just tremendous. You probably find a lot of people responsive to your music in Western Pennsylvania, I would think. A lot of folks that appreciate old-time music and I think simple, genuine tunes.
Yeah, I think so. I've always found a wonderful group of old-time musicians in Western Pennsylvania. They were the second group of people that I got really accepted by in my journey. And I have a lot of friends here, a lot of acquaintances and people that I've known over the years, and a band I played in. We'd come over here and play square dances, and I met a lot of those people then. And
so, who was the first group of people that you felt accepted by?
Oh, well, I used to have a shop called Boulder Junction back in Ohio, and that whole group, that was back in the 70s, and they would come, and we have jam sessions there. And so that group is still around, and I get over up to the Canton, Akron area and in Ohio, and I get up there on a semi-regular basis, still play
good
with them.
And when you say shop, do you mean music shop?
Yeah, it was a music shop. It was a folk music center. We made instruments. We first started out making dulcimers, and we had a coffee house where we had traditional performers, and we made banjos and did repair and restorations, and this was back in the 70s.
Yeah, that sounds pretty idyllic. Do you travel much these days, the two of you, to play?
No, not that much. We play together at jam sessions, and we go to festival. We are at festivals together. We go separately, and so we play whenever we can. He's in Cincinnati. He's 5 hours away from me, so I drive down there, you know, whenever I can, and we spend a weekend together and play. And with his partner Barb Zavon, we just have a good old time. And sometimes other people come up and. From Kentucky or wherever, so.
Yeah, it's really, it's just a great benefit to be able to have you here. Now, you have a number of CDs available, Chadwell Station, Fiddlin' on the Frontier. These are all just beautifully put together, too. And that one is Christian Wigg along with Whit Mead. And then Come Back, Boys, and Feed the Horses with Christian and Mark Ward here today. And then Laurie Lewis is on Lost Indian, Fiddling on the Frontier, along with Whit and Joe LaRose. And these are all available. I imagine the simplest way would be to go to your website.
Yeah, I have a website. You know, all these CDs are available on CD Baby and Elderly Instruments and County Sales and several other places. But now the Laura Lewis is not the bluegrass fiddler.
I was
going to
ask
Lewis.
You about that.
This
yeah.
is a dancer, Paul Kovac's wife. Paul Kovac is a wonderful bluegrass musician.
Oh, it's Laura. You know, I read Laura because I'm so used to. Actually, I remember that now from years ago.
His wife is a wonderful clogger. And so I had her, when I did this, I wanted some percussion on the CD. So we packed up to, went to their place, and she re-recorded her clogging to half a dozen of the tunes on there.
Who does the art on these CDs? They're beautiful.
Well, Andrea Ardito does all the graphic work, putting everything in the computer, but I have... those are paintings specifically made for those people. One of them is Fred Threlfall, who's a Western Pennsylvania artist of the frontier. And another one is Brian White, who now lives in Pennsylvania, down in Everett, Pennsylvania, also an artist of the frontier, painter, and his wife, Pamela Patrick White. They travel around to rendezvous and sell their art. They're all very good.
Yeah, they're beautiful. It's worth it to go to Christian's website just to take a look at these covers. They're gorgeous, and they're really well printed too. Christian Wigg and Mark Ward here in Pittsburgh, I want to be sure we get some more songs. And what do you want to play next?
We're going to do
Three Forks of the Cumberland.
Three Forks of Cumberland, and this comes from a fiddler named David R. Hamblin, who was born in 1809 in Cumberland Gap, Virginia, which is the very western part of Virginia, the gateway to Tennessee and Kentucky. And he was born in 1809, died in 1897 or something, but he never got recorded, as far as we know. His grandson transcribed 40 of his tunes and put them in the Library of Congress, and there they resided for many years. This would have been back in the 20s, and were there for many years until they were discovered by an old-time musician in the 80s. And so we try to get those tunes and try to play them in an archaic way. And this is called Three Forks of Cumberland, which is the Cumberland River runs through Kentucky and Tennessee. And so this is about, there's no words about it, but this is just one of those tunes. It's a very strange tune. Thank you.
Christian Ward and or Mark Ward and Christian Wigg, the W Boys, we'll call them. But I really liked the banjo part on that a lot. Really percussive and precise, yet old-timey at the same time. Do you guys play dance as much, or do people like to dance when you play?
No, we don't do very many. I used to play a lot of dances, and, you know, I don't know what to say about dances.
Well,
I used to love to play dances, but not so much anymore. I don't like playing the same tune for 10 minutes.
Can be somewhat audio wallpaper for another activity.
Yeah,
and the reason I asked is that song almost made me want to get up and dance, which is saying a lot.
Well, thank you. There are fiddlers, wonderful fiddlers, who are like born dance fiddlers. And they have this kind of energy and this stamina to play, at 140 beats a minute for 10 minutes, and I have lost that ability. That's an acquired ability. I could get it back if I really wanted to, but I'm more happy doing this.
I would think just the potential fatigue on your ears, let alone your arms, as you play for that long, seriously.
Yeah,
it takes a lot. It would take a lot if I played. It would take a lot for me to do that. Tell me a little bit about the banjo you were just playing, Mark, the one you're holding. Is that an older banjo? Or?
Well, it's kind of a pieces parts banjo. It was put together by a friend of mine in Kent named Greg Gefell. And compared to the music that we play, it's a relatively modern banjo. It's a Vega White Lady style banjo, and my friend made the neck for it, and I bought this from him many years ago, and I just have gone through a lot of banjos, but I always come back to this one. It just really fits me and is very comfortable for me to play in every way.
Yeah, it's got a great tone, and it looks it's hard for me to see. It looks like it's a little smaller than a typical banjo. Or if there is such a thing, but I've seen bigger banjos, I think.
Right, yeah. This is a 10 3/4 inch. And many of the banjos that you see in old-time music now are about 12 inches because people like this really heavy thunk to go with their music. And the standard bluegrass banjo is 11 inches, and that's the standard Gibson or whatever you might see. But in old time, especially the Vega Company, they made everything from, 9 inches up to over 12.
Wow, I didn't know they made them that small.
That's... Yeah, I have an electric banjo. It has nothing to do with electricity. Back then, it was from the 1890s, and they would call something electric the way we would call something atomic or nuclear.
When did you start to play?
I started when I was about 13 years old, which is a little over 40 years ago. And my brother just brought home, he was in the Air Force, and he had just an old Sears Roebuck banjo. And he was being shipped off to Guam, and so he brought the banjo home with the Earl Scruggs book and threw it in the bed. And I kind of picked it up and messed around with it a little bit, but I studied that for, a couple of years, but in the back of the Earl Scruggs book, there was this picture of this guy named Uncle Dave Macon.
Oh, yes.
And I was just fascinated with that picture, and the little, there's just a couple lines in the book about Uncle Dave. Well, I went to the library, and I got out an Uncle Dave record, and that led to the Skillet Lickers, and one day I was walking in Peach's Records and Tapes on Brook Park Avenue in Cleveland, and I looked in the bin, and there was this old fiddle, this beautiful album cover, and this old fiddle player on it, and his name was Tommy Gerald, and the name of the record was Sail Away Ladies. And that changed my life right there. I bought that record just because the cover was so pretty. And old guy playing the fiddle, how can you go wrong?
Yeah, I was looking at our Flat and Scruggs records, recordings, Wednesday after he passed, or Thursday morning, and some of them I needed to go online to get all of the notes, and I was looking at images from a lot of old vinyl records, and I miss those. There's a lot to be said for having those works of art. That's one reason I noted the art on your CDs. They're beautiful. They look just like record albums of the past, and something tells me that's probably how you wanted them to look. Christian Wigg and Mark Ward are the voices that you're hearing and the instruments. The voice you just heard was Mark's. And I want to be sure if I'm failing to ask you something you'd like to mention, that by all means that you mention it. I know tonight's house concert is full, and I hope folks will stop by the website to check out some of your recordings. Probably the easiest thing is if you type Christian Wigg in a search engine, it'll come right up. The easiest thing to do. Is there anything else? We have time for more songs, but I want to be sure we mention something. If there's something on your mind, we get that in.
Well, yeah, I wanted to mention one thing about Mark. Mark is a gifted banjo and fiddle maker.
Oh.
And he's, although this is his banjo from Greg Gefell, a Kent area maker, Mark has also made many banjos. Greg Gefell and Mark and myself and Kevin Enoch and a number of other people all apprenticed with Doug Unger, a fantastically gifted luthier and instrument maker from Peninsula, Ohio, on how to make these replicas of these old tubophone white and white lady banjos from the late 1800s, early 1900s, with the real intricate inlay and engraved inlay all up and down the neck, and I did not keep up with that, but Mark and all these other people have, and they have all been able to help supply the market with these wonderful reproduction banjos, because the originals are cost prohibitive nowadays. And Mark's making me a fiddle. Remember I mentioned about the David R. Hamblin. His son, mm-hmm. Williamson, who was born 1848, he was a fiddle maker. Now, I've been unable to find out if there was other fiddle making in the family, but at least he was, and he made these really interesting, they're called two-point fiddlers. And that would be the top 2 points on the fiddle are there, but when you get down to the bottom points, it's just a smooth contour without the bottom points. And so Mark is making me one of these two-pointer fiddlers so that I can, talk about the Hamblin family and then show one of the fiddles, that's like what Williamson made.
Interesting.
So I can't wait to get that.
So the points on a fiddle, if you're looking at a fiddle and you see the indentations in either side of it, the points would be the corners of those indentations. And typically you have four that sort of jut out to a point, but you're making the two lower ones towards the bottom are smooth?
Yes, I'm removing those lower ones, and so there's only the upper ones that are closest to the neck.
And does that alter the sound, or is it primarily to have it look like
authentic? Primarily to have it look like the Hamblin fiddles. It probably does change the sound in some way, but for our kind of music, it is probably insignificant.
Interesting. I've never heard that expression to describe the fiddle before like that. So I learned something about that. It's 9 minutes now before noon. I think we have time for a couple more songs, at least.
Yeah.
What would you like to do next?
Well, this is a tune from Ward Jarvis called Tomahawk. And I actually learned it from Jeff Gehring, a wonderful old fiddler who's now passed on. But and so has Ward. Ward was an older musician born in, I would say, very early 1900s. I'm not quite sure, but I'll just start it off.
Chris Wigg, yeah, absolutely. That was really delightful. Mark Ward and Christian Wigg. I'm saying Chris Wigg because that's the website, chriswigg.com. And that's how you can learn more. And you've got a book here that I've spoken through your website that I'd like to know a little bit about, Christian.
Well, I've been a historical reenactor for a number of years, and that would be portraying a time period of before the Revolutionary War. And I ran across this fella in my history reading named Christopher Gist, who was an actual frontiersman during that time period. And there was a lot of information out there about him, but it was scattered all around through the historical record. And so I gathered all of that, and I wrote an historical novel based on the life of Christopher Gist. All of the characters are real characters, and all of the events actually happened. I had called it a novel because I created conversation and fleshed out personalities that are perhaps only hinted at in the historical record. And he's most famous for being a guide to George Washington. When George Washington was 21 and Christopher Gist was in his 40s, he was ordered by, he went to tell the French to get off of British territory, basically what it was. And it was a wilderness back then, and he needed a guide, and Christopher Gist was his guide. So that's probably one of the high points of his life in the, historical record.
Thanks for sharing that. Now, we just have about 4 minutes of radio time left. I really want to encourage you to go to chriswigg.com because as I there's some great old pictures on the website. The North Fork Ramblers, the boiled buzzards are there, and an older boiled buzzards picture. And there's your website's a lot of fun. Thank you for being here today. I want to thank all of our guests from today. Margie Whitmer from the Fred Rogers Company earlier this morning, as well as our guests from the University of Pittsburgh Latin American and Caribbean Festival. We'll close out. What would you like to do?
We're going to do the title cut of our latest CD called Come Back Boys and Feed the Horses, and it's from an obscure fiddler from West Virginia named Tom Witt. And the recording of it is very, very rough, and so we've sort of cleaned it up a little bit, and we're going to do double fiddle here. Thank you.
Join us again next week for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. Andy Collier, great mix. Thank you. The Saturday Light Brigade from SLB Radio Productions.